So we are at, today is the 18th of June, 2019, what, the 15th of Sivan or so? I don't know, let me see my computer here. Someplace like that. All right, so I believe the 15th of Sivan. We are up to Musar Day of Perek Chaf Zayin in Parshas Pinchas, in the book of Bamidbar. Parshas Pinchas deals with the Benos Lafchad and then the passing of the torch of Moshe to Yehoshua. So we have what to say about both of those issues. So first is a very cryptic Gemara that appears in that appears in Maseches Bava Basra. Then Maseches Bava Basra talks about, actually Rashi already seems to be alluding to this, because in the story of the Benos Slavchad, so the girls say, the Zorot Slavchad both say, let's pull it up here, they say, right, Lama Yigra Hashem Avinu Mitoch Mishpachinu Ke'im Lo Ben Tano Lanu Achuza B'Sochachei Avinu. So Rashi makes the comment, right, Anum Makum Ben Amdu, so we're standing up for a son, etc. Pasuk Beis Gimel Dalet and Perikov Zayin. Where's that Rashi? Rashi makes a comment that you see that they knew what they were talking about. But I'm just missing where that Rashi says that. Ah, there it is. Right, ki ein lo ben. Rashi says, ha'im haya ben, right, lo hayu tovim kum. They wouldn't have required anything. Magid shechachmanios hayu. You see that they were chachmanios. So what is that reference to? What is this chachmanios is going on? So perhaps it's allusion to, although maybe it's just separate. You see that they knew what they were talking about. But there is a story here that the Gemara comments in the Maseches Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Tes Vav Amud Beis. So it says as follows, Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Kol Umer Tirash Bas Im Bas HaBen, that whoever says a daughter inherits with the daughter of a son. So let's say a father has five daughters, for example, let's say four, instead of five daughters, he has four daughters and one son, and that son had a daughter, right? So now the father dies, and it's time to inherit. So who gets all of, how do they divide?
The son dies.
A man had four daughters, one son. The son died, but already had a daughter. Okay. And then the father died. Sure. So there's four daughters and one granddaughter. So who gets the father's inheritance?
The granddaughter.
Only the granddaughter. Very good. Right. The Gemara says, Kol Omer Tirush Bas Im Bas HaBen. Anybody who doesn't say like that, anybody who says that, oh, the granddaughter will get like the other daughters, Afilu Nasi should be Yisrael in Shom Lom. Even if he is a Nasi, we don't listen to him. Why? She'enon Ela Maisa Tzedukim. But that's what Tzedukim said. Right? That's what the Tzedukim says. So anybody who wants to disagree here, so we're going to call you a Sadducee. Desanya, as we see, Ba'arba Ve'esrim B'Teves Tavna L'dinana. On the 24th of Teves, so it's a yantiv. It's mentioned in Megillas Tainus as a yantiv because that's when the halacha went back to its original source. What's that? Shai tzedukim omrim. And what was this big halacha that went back? Shai tzedukim omrim tirash abasim bas haben. Because the tzedukim said that the daughter will inherit along with the granddaughter, that they'll all get an equal portion. So nitpo lehen Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai started getting involved with them. He started bothering them. Amar lehem, and he said, and now keep in mind, Yochanan ben Zakkai, if you were to think about the story of Maseches Gittin, about him, his issues, right, he was the one that was hiding out in Yerushalayim, then got snuck out, right, who was that a fight between? There's a fight between him, right, it was going on with him and the Biryonim, right, who were the Biryonim? The Zealots. Right? So he, no, well, they weren't to say, there was a third group. Right, the zealots, they were the zealots. They were the ones who said we should fight all these Romans and this is ridiculous. Why are we cowering to the Romans? Right? So he was not on that team. So he was, he convinced, in fact, talked to his nephew who was, like, involved with the zealots, and the zealots said, what can I do? They're going to kill, you know, if I try to get them to calm down, they're going to go after me. Right? So they stuck with Yochanan and Zachariah. So based on that story, if I were to ask you, how would you describe the personality of Yochanan and Zachariah, you would imagine him as being, like, a nice, calm guy, right? Except for when he dealt with the Sadducees. But he turns to them and says, Shotem minayin at zelachan. He says, fools, how do you understand this? We want to answer him, except for an old guy, who fought against him, and he said, it's based on a Kaval Chomer. But as if the daughter of a son comes to inherit because of the son, right? So he's coming through the power of a son who the father gave birth to. The daughters who came directly from the father, Kaval Chomer, they should inherit from them. Right? So, that's their taina, that's the argument. So, kara love is mikrezet. So, Yochum and Zakai pulls out the following pasuk. El b'nei Seir hachori yoshvei aretz. That the sons of Seir, the Chorite, right, who were in the land, Lotan v'sholva v'tzivon va'ana. Right, those are the four sons of Seir. Following so far? Uchsiv, and then it says in the next pasuk, a couple pasukim later, right? Ela v'nei Tzivon va'aya va'ana. And the sons of Tzivon are Aya and Ana. So what do we see? Ana is mentioned, so the Gemara comments, wait a second. Ana is a son, mentioned as a son of Seir. He's also mentioned as a son of Tzivon. Right? So how'd that happen? How could Aya be a son of both? So the understanding is that after Seir died, so somebody had had incest with his mother, right? And then it had another, and then had Anna. So Anna is Seir's so Anna biologically is both Seir's grandson, as well as his son, right? No, his mother, with regards to the mother, is both the grandson as well as the son. That's with regards to his mother. Okay, so but he's still yet mentioned as Seir's son, even though he's technically Seir's grandson. So what do you see? You see that a son is referred to as a grandson is referred to as a son sometimes. Okay, El Malami Shabbat Tzivon Al Imo. It must be that Tzivon came upon his mother and Anna was born. Okay, so the Gemara asks, maybe there's two Annas? No, there isn't. Fine, let's skip that part. So Amar Lei. So this. Suki says back to Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rebbe b'kachata p'treini. Right, you're going to dismiss you with that answer? So it doesn't say why, what's wrong with that answer. Can anybody think what's wrong with that answer? Right, the Rishon says that's talking about boys, not girls. Right, everything's going to be different. Right, that's boys, not girls. So Amar lo, to which Yochanan ben Zakkai says, Shelta, right, you're a fool. Right, velote Torah shlema shalom b'tzicha b'teil shalchem. Our Torah is not like your nonsense. Ma'al levas b'no shekein yufa kocha b'makom achin. Tomer revito shahora kocha b'makom achin. That the daughter of a son who, the daughter of a son of the person who passed away, his power is enhanced even when his brothers are still alive, meaning if there's a, if there is a daughter, let's say instead of having four girls and a boy, he had five boys, right? And one of those boys is already dead, but already had a daughter, right? That daughter will inherit via her dead father. Okay? So he says, Malabas b'no shekein yufa kochum makom achin, tamarivito shahura kochum makom achin, right? So the daughter is gaining strength through her father, right? You're going to compare it to these girls who lose all their koach because of their brothers. Right? So that was the big win against the Tzedukim, and in fact the Gemara concludes by saying, V'nitzchum, the Rabbanim were successful in defeating the Tzedukim, V'osu ayom asahu yadzif. And that day was made into a yadzif. So mark it down, Chaftal Teves, you'll know because it's exactly 2 weeks after my birthday. At least that's the way it falls out. Chaftal Teves or Yud Teves?
Yeah.
Chaftal Teves.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mine's Yud Teves. So 2 weeks after. Okay. My birthday seems to always fall out on a fast day. So. Now yours is a Yosef and mine's a fast day, right? Chaftal. Okay. So Sons of Yaakov Kamenetsky, what in the world is going on here? Right? Why is this a big party? What is the cause for the Yantif? So he reads into this. He says, no, I'll tell you what's going on here. Right? This argument of the Tzedukim are, we're going to go with the closest reading. Right? We're going to say, oh, well, we're closer, right? The other daughters are closer to the original than this granddaughter is. So the daughters, right, we claim the close reading, right? We're the Torah Shebichsav people, right? We're going to claim the direct connection, to which the other ones would say, no, because of our Torah Shebichsav, you guys are all cut off. Right, so this is all a what's it called? It's a term, literary term that it's alluding to right now. Right, this is all a symbol for what's going on with regards to the machlokas between the Tzitzukim and the Prushim was taken out during that time, and therefore it makes sense why they would be yadav. This is demonstrating their victory in terms of demonstrating that we have the direct connection through our Mesorah rather than you guys who just claim closeness. Here? Okay. Next thing, with regards to Yehoshua. So Yehoshua, Moshe makes a claim. Moshe says, Moshe makes an argument. He says, what's going to be? Who's going to take over from me? Hashem says to Moshe, you're going to take Yehoshua plus Isha Sher Ruach Bo. So why was Yehoshua chosen? So he adds in that the Ramban, during the time of the Meraglim, right, was Yehoshua the greatest Jew around? So not necessarily. During the time of the Meraglim, the Ramban at least claims that the order of the Meraglim is an order of greatness. And is Yehoshua ranked number one? No, Yehoshua is ranked number five. In fact, Kalev is ranked above Yehoshua. Right, so why is he...
I understand. Was he one of the Meraglim?
Yehoshua?
Not Yehoshua, the other person. Kalev? The one you just mentioned.
Kalev.
Yeah. Those were the two that were...
Yeah, but there are other three. There are three others besides Kalev that are also ranked above Yehoshua.
Yeah, but they were part of the Meraglim.
I understand, but the point, that he's just making the point that you see that he wasn't the greatest possible Jew. He wasn't the greatest person in the generation. When you listed off the Meraglim, he was only the fifth, he was only ranked number five. Now, yes, it's true that the ones above him ended up going bad, and therefore they, like on a college football day when the top three teams all lose, so the number five team gets bumped up. It's true, and by now, not only did they lose, but they're also dead. But you see that Yehoshua wasn't always known as the greatest Eloi. He wasn't always known as the greatest person of the generation. There were assumptions that perhaps there are other people that were greater than him. But yet, what makes him...
I've been taught that Moshe Rabbeinu originally wanted Pinchas as his...
Okay.
Okay.
It could be. Rashi includes his sons. Moshe really intended that his sons should take over, and Hashem said no. But yeah. So what is the story of Yehoshua? So the Sforno says. So we talked about Yisha Ruach Bo. I always thought about it as a form of. My English is escaping me.
Allegory or something?
No. Yishashir Ruach Bo, a form of charisma, right? That Moshe's argument to Hashem was, suppose people are all El Kearuchos, you're the God of spirits, you'll be able to help all these different types of people that have all these different types of spirits. You have all these different Jews, all these, there's 600,000 Jews, that means that there's, how many opinions? 900,000. Two Jews, three opinions. So if you multiply that by 600,000, there's 900,000 opinions, right? So, and that's not even including the women and the children and the retirees in Florida who have a couple more opinions, right? So it doesn't include any of them. But Hashem, but he says, so you need, right? And that people shouldn't be like sheep without a shepherd. So Hashem says, you can take Yehoshua, Isha Sheruach Bo. I mean, he has a spirit contained within it. It's considered like a form of charisma that he's able to relate to all the different people. But it comes here from the Sforno. The Isha Sheruach Bo, Muchan Lekabel Or Pnei Melech Chaim, Kinyan Uvalev Kol Chacham Lev Nasati Chacham. That he is prepared to learn more. That's what it means, Isha Sheruach Bo. A person who is prepared to go out and learn more. And that's, and it goes from, and in Sichas Moser, it says, from the idea of the Sforno, it says, Shachacham Lev, Mi Shemuchan Lekabel Or Pnei Melechayim, who is prepared to receive the light of the living king. He's not concerned just with what he has. He's not satisfied with what he has. Rather, he wants to seek, and he wants to search, and he wants to learn more. And that was the greatness of Yehoshua, which he had more than anybody else in his generation, that he sought to have more wisdom. Right? I meant to mention even before that maybe the answer is that you don't necessarily, if we look in Shulchan Aruch, we covered this in Shulchan Aruch share relatively recently, a few months ago already, that the Rama comments at the very end of Hilchus Melamdin, the laws of hiring a teacher or perhaps a rabbi as well. So the Rama makes a few brief comments about passing on a rabbinic position via Yerusha, by inheritance to the child. And he makes the comment that ideally it should be passed on to the next generation, so long as he is like a decent Talmud Chacham. Right? So that's not exactly the best ringing endorsement of who the next person is going to be. Right? So I looked around today where I got this from. Maybe I just made it up. But it occurred to me, I really thought I saw it in the paper someplace, it occurred to me that when one is seeking a leader, you're not necessarily seeking the absolute positively best person for the position. Because otherwise, there will always just be a machlokas about who is absolutely positively the best person for the position. You're seeking somebody who will be good for the position. And you're also seeking to mitigate machlokas as much as possible, mitigate arguments as much as possible. So that being the case, who's the obvious person that should be able to get the next position? So often that should just go to the son. Not necessarily because he's the best man for the job, but because that will mitigate machlokas. That will mitigate disagreements. As long as he's good enough. If he's good enough, that's okay. And once a person is in leadership of a position, it's really all siyata d'shmaya anyways.
Hasidic groups always pass down.
So in theory, except it doesn't always work so well.
They don't always have a son. They have,
yes.
Like, Chabad is a perfect example.
Well, Chabad is just they didn't have children. But
Satmar Rebbe didn't have children either. It was Mashiach, so he designated somebody.
Right.
That's the difference.
Right. Well, things didn't exactly work out great with them either. But his descendant, Rav Moshe, I think, was Rav Yoel's son. But the machlokas now is to his kids.
Right.
But the truth is, I don't know, there's over 100,000 people in each one. Like, it seems like it should
one
be...
Monroe,
right, it's upstate and then the Williamsburg,
yeah,
right.
But anyway, with respect to Yeshua, earlier... that he had charisma too, which can involve a certain amount.
Well, that's just a suggestion as to what that means. Yisha Sheruach Bo. So it could be that Hashem was telling Hashem was telling Moshe, listen, your kids are not Chacham Tzvat. They don't even get to that level.
Yes.
Yeshua does, and Yeshua is your Talmud Bavuk, so it makes sense to give it over to Yeshua.
Okay, but I'm looking at both of those things.
Okay.
Being
all right. But also he was a Mevakish. He was one who sought more. That's Rav Chaim Shmulevitz's reading of it. And there's, we're already pretty late here. And then there's other sources that Rabbi Simon quotes in Nimri Baruch along those lines. Maybe we'll save those for another time. One more point, and that is that when we noticed this when we went through the planning the first couple of times, that Hashem tells him, Rav Yom Hashem El Moshe, Kach Lachaz Yeshua Isha Sherechbo, V'samachta Es Yadcha Alav, and you'll place your hand upon him, Amarta So, and you'll do it in front of Elazar, in front of everybody, and you'll make that commandment, right? And then he says, V'nasata Mechotcha Alav, you'll give from your hod. What is your hod? It translates here in the RCYC as majesty. You'll give from your charisma, perhaps. Right? Laman Yishmot, everybody will listen. All the Ashkenazim will listen to him. V'lifnei Elazar HaKohen Yamod, V'shalom, people, and you ask the room of Tumim, and everything will be fine. And what does it say Moshe did? V'yas Moshe Kertziva Hashem Aso, as Moshe Hashem commanded him. V'yikachas Yoshua, V'yamidei Yulifnei Elazar HaKohen Lifnei Kol Eidani. And Yoshua took, and he put him in front of everybody. V'yismochas Yadav Alav. And he placed his hands upon him.
Oh.
Right? So that's a little bit different than what was required. Right? Hashem said, place your hand on him. Moshe places hands on him. Right? So what's going on there? So Salvechik says, Moshe says, well, if you think about it, Moshe was told to put two things on him. He said, put your hand on him, and he also said, put your hod on him. So perhaps putting your second hand is placing your hod on him. But what is that idea of hod? What is that? What is the idea of majesty? So in the Rav Speaking Aloud, he has a beautiful statement here. This one is adapted from the Yiddish, okay, from 1963. But he says, the idea of, with one hand you place the Mesorah. The Mesorah is the lumdus, the halacha, the learning, etc. That's what you're passing on with one hand. The hod is the experience of Judaism, which is something that the Rav speaks often about. In fact, he puts here in this, there's two famous pieces that the Rav seems to be putting together. One is when he gave a hesped for Rebetzin Tversky, for the Macha Tenister, his Macha Tenister, where he talks about the Torah Simecha, the Torah Avicha versus Torah Simecha. Torah Avicha is the things that the father teaches, the halacha. He said, I learned Shabbos from my father. from my mother, I learned how to live Shabbos. And he says, I learned from my mother the most important thing in life, to feel the hand of God resting upon my frail shoulders. So that's one idea that he talks about, the idea of just that there's a spirit to Yiddishkeit. And he also discusses the idea of a Masorah passing on to the next generation. He just says, many things that I saw, I just can't possibly pass on to the next generation. It has to be experienced. And he picks on here a very fascinating Gemara. I'm not sure who's giving shir next. If he's here or not. You're not sure either? Okay. But there's a Gemara in Maseches Brachos where it says, Rabbi Akiva says that one time I snuck into the bathroom. There's a different Gemara about hearing the parents do relations. Right. This is under the bed. But this is a different one. Tamachas, I went and saw Rabbi Yeshua in the bathroom. I learned from him three halachos, right? And I learned from him about the direction, and I learned from him not to expose oneself unnecessarily, and I learned from him to wipe with your left hand, not with your right hand, fine. So he said this to Benazai. Benazai responds by saying, Ad kan hi asa panecha barabcha, right? You act so brazenly to your Rebbe, and Rebbe Kiva responds, Torah hi v'lamadcha nitzar. So it's Torah, and I want to learn it. Okay? So far, so good. What's fascinating is the next statement. Because Benazai makes the comment, one time I went in and saw Rabbi Akiva in the bathroom, and I learned from him the following three things, right? I learned from him about the direction, I learned from him not to expose oneself, and I learned not to wipe with your right hand, rather with your left hand. So Rabbi Yehuda, who Benazai said this to, Rabbi Yehuda says to him, Atkane hasa panecha barafka, you're right, you were so brazenly in front of your Rebbe, so I'm alone to which Benazai responds, Torah vilmud ar nitzarech, right? I went and I needed to learn Torah. Fascinating, it's the same person. Right? Rabbi Akiva says, I learned this from my Rebbe, from watching him. Benazai yells at him, how dare you go and watch your Rebbe, right? But, okay, it's good to know these three halachos. But was that enough for Benazai? No. Benazai goes and does the same thing to his Rebbe and learns the same three halachos. What's going on there?
Yeah.
Right? So the Rav says, what do you mean? Eino Dome, there's no comparison between just learning the halachos versus seeing it, versus seeing Meister Rav, seeing what the Rebbe actually did, will make a greater roshem, will make a greater influence, and you'll be able to learn, you'll be able to understand it much better, and that's what Yehoshua had as well. Yehoshua had the experience of being with his Rebbe all of those hours of the day, and the whole thing about him, that he went and he waited at the bottom of Har Sinai for Moshe to come down, so he wouldn't miss one moment from learning with his Rebbe. And perhaps that's what qualified Yeshua to be the next leader of Klai Yisrael. All right, let's stop here. Pick up the next parak. Mir Hashem.